My name is Lexi Vigil, and today I'm going to present a secondary analysis from the baseline data obtained from Dr. Kimberly Ercolio, my research mentor's research study that was titled Asthma Disparities in Latino Children, Acculturation, Illness Representations in CAM. The title of our presentation today is Asthma Symptom Perceptions, School Absenteeism, and Healthcare Utilization. Here are a few pictures of Dr. Ercolio's research team in Phoenix, Arizona, and Bronx, New York, where the data was collected. And Dr. Ercolio's research was funded by NCCAM and NIMHD. Asthma is an expensive illness accounting for $56 billion, or approximately $1,039 per child annually, according to the CDC's most recent data on this topic. Lost productivity costs due to school absenteeism and its effects on their caregivers missing work cannot be fully quantified in this number, as their data encompasses people of all ages affected by asthma and not just the pediatric population. We theorize that the lost productivity cost for working parents is more than what has been accounted for. Uncontrolled asthma and subsequent absenteeism in healthcare utilization may be related to parents' underperception of their child's asthma symptoms and discordance of their views of asthma and its treatment compared with the professional model of asthma management. The professional model of asthma management views asthma as a chronic illness that is present even when the individual is not symptomatic. It follows a stepwise approach in order to attain the highest degree of asthma control, in which the dose, type of medication, and frequency of medication administration are adjusted based on the level of symptoms present. According to this model, asthma can be controlled but not cured, and the overarching goal is for the individual to be symptom-free. The lay model views asthma as an acute episodic disease frequently described as no symptoms, no asthma, and the overarching goal in the lay model is for the individual to be medication-free. Accurate perception of asthma symptoms, level of control, and medication adherence are key to improving outcomes and reducing costs incurred. The research findings reveal that parents are not accurate perceivers of their child's symptoms. Research by Feldman and co-authors showed that those children who received predicting peak expiratory flow feedback were less likely to underperceive and more likely to overperceive respiratory compromise and had higher accurate zone scores than children without feedback. The conclusion in this article states that inner-city ethnic minority children are at risk for a combination of underperception, of respiratory compromise, and very poor adherence to controller steroid medication use when measured without peak predicting expiratory flow feedback. Further, another research article by Ackner and co-authors shows that asthma patients rely more on their subjective estimate of lung function than objective measures such as peak expiratory flow values to guide the use of their asthma medications. If an individual overestimates the severity of his or her symptoms, there is a risk of overutilization of controller medications, while underestimation of symptom severity may lead to the failure to step up or initiate therapy. Ethnic minority groups struggle the most with symptom perceptual accuracy related to a multitude of variables, such as health literacy, socioeconomic status, language barriers, access to health care, and acculturation to American health beliefs and practices, and as a result have a higher incidence of school absenteeism and health care utilization. The purpose of the secondary data analysis of health disparities among Latino children is to assess and analyze how parents' perception of asthma control and their illness representations of asthma impact controller medication use, healthcare utilization, and school absenteeism. The results from this information can then be used to address specific areas of concern regarding Latino caregiver asthma knowledge and its alignment with the professional model of asthma management, and can aid in reshaping illness representations held by this population. Additionally, analysis of specific components of this data can be used to address gaps in the literature and expand the framework for assessing disparities in asthma health outcomes among Latino children, with the goal of creating a subsequent decrease in the number of ER visits, hospitalizations, and missed school days. In this secondary analysis of data obtained from the Latino Childhood Asthma Project, we examined how parental symptom perception and lay model illness representations, illustrated as IR throughout the PowerPoint, influence controller medication use, effects of school absenteeism, and healthcare utilization. This figure shows the conceptual framework for the study. The parents and child's interpretation of the child's symptoms are the stimuli that initiate the process of illness representation, or the situational stimuli. The parent's social and contextual factors, such as ethnicity, age, poverty, education, and acculturation, along with their own experienced health events, which include the number of other family members with asthma, number of months the child has had asthma, and the quality of the parent healthcare provider relationship, led to the formation of their individual asthma illness representations of the health threat. For our analysis, we only looked at ethnicity and its effects on symptom interpretation, illness representation, and subsequent impact on controller medication use and asthma control. Baseline data were collected from 534 Mexican and Puerto Rican caregivers and their children ages 5 through 12 who had asthma requiring the daily use of controller medications. This population was chosen based on the presumption that children in this age range had not typically assumed daily control for managing their own asthma and were still heavily dependent on their caregivers. Families were recruited from clinics in Phoenix, Arizona, and Bronx, New York, where there are higher populations of inner-city poor Mexican and Puerto Rican children with asthma. It was necessary to enroll multiple sites in the study in order to obtain a sufficient number of families to participate and conduct. Structured interviews occurred with parents and shorter interviews with the children, as well as objective measures of the child's lung function and a review of the child's medical records. Interviews and assessments were conducted at enrollment in months 3, 6, and 12 post-enrollment, chi-square, t-test, and logistic regression analysis were also conducted. This table shows background characteristics of the sample from the LCAP data. What is significant here are the differences seen between Mexican and Puerto Rican caregivers, which can be theorized to both directly and indirectly affect asthma morbidity in these children. For instance, fewer Mexican caregivers were high school graduates, so presumably less educated, but more had a positive protective factor such as being married, and more Mexican caregivers also reported being poor, so also less access to health, presumably less access to health care. Yet more Mexican kids were rated as having better controlled asthma according to a clinician standpoint, and Mexican children had shorter duration of asthma symptoms. In addition, Mexican caregivers reported less depressive-like symptoms compared to Puerto Rican caregivers, which is also an area of interest in the LCAP data, but which is not looked at in this analysis. In each of the tables, I have specific aims, and then aim number 2 is going to stay consistent throughout all my tables presented. Aim 1 in this table is to examine the influence of parental illness representations and symptom perception on controller medication use. In all the aims, we're going to determine if the relationships in Aim 1 differ by ethnic group, Puerto Rican versus Mexican. The results for this table show that parents who underperceived their child's symptoms were significantly less likely to have used controller medications in the past month. Parental illness representations were not a significant predictor of controller medication use. Also, there were no ethnic differences in use of controller medications. The aim for this table was to examine the influence of parental illness representations and symptom perceptions on emergency room visits. The results show that Puerto Rican children were 6 times more likely to have had an emergency room visit than Mexican children. The significant increase in emergency room visits for Puerto Rican versus Mexican children is related to numerous factors, which Dr. Arcolia talks about in other research. But in relationship to the specific variables we looked at in this analysis, it is predicted by caregiver illness representations and less significantly symptom perception. Parents whose illness representations were aligned with the lay model were significantly more likely to have ED visits for their children. Also, there was a trend for parents who magnified their child's symptoms to also have increased emergency room visits for their child. In Table 4, we examined the influence of parental illness representations and symptom perception on hospitalizations. The results showed that Puerto Rican children were twice as likely to have had a hospitalization in the past year compared with Mexican children. Parental illness representations and symptom perception were not significant predictors of hospitalization in this model. In Table 5, our aim was to examine the influence of parental illness representations and symptom perception on school absenteeism. The results show that there were no difference between Mexican and Puerto Rican children when we examined only 1 to 2 days of missed school. When we examined the findings for those children who missed 3 or more days of school in the past year, it was revealed that Puerto Rican children were more likely to have missed this, 3 or more days related to asthma. In conclusion, underperception of symptoms was predictive of decreased medication use, which can be theorized to have impacted the prevalence of Puerto Rican children being 2 times more likely to have had a hospitalization over the past year, to have been 6 times more likely to have had an ED visit, and to have an higher odds of missing greater than or equal to 3 days of school per year. According to the illness representation theory, as outlined in a research article by Leventhal and co-authors, individuals construct their own common sense model of disease and management in order to deal with illness and or prevent the illness or disease. In relation to Latino families, there are several barriers that prevent adequate asthma management, such as access to healthcare, socioeconomic status, language barriers, and slow acculturation to health beliefs and practices in America. This is important because parents were found to be more closely associated with the group who perceived medication use's concerns outweighing the necessity of daily use of medication in a research study conducted by Kahn and co-authors. This is significant because it has been demonstrated in the literature that parents whose illness representations are more closely aligned with the professional model of asthma have children who are more likely to be on adequate medication regimen and thus have better controlled asthma. What we can now do with this knowledge is educate healthcare providers in all practice settings on these facts that contribute to Latino illness representations and symptom perceptions so that they can understand what beliefs these parents hold about their child's asthma and incorporate these beliefs into the medication regimen prescribed for that child. Evidence shows that if parents feel that they are part of the decision-making process regarding treatment of their child's asthma, they are more likely to adhere to the prescribed medication regimen, thereby reducing exacerbations of asthma symptoms, decreasing emergency room visits, hospitalizations, and overall fatal asthma attacks. Through targeting the variables that play into the reasoning behind medication adherence and non-adherence in this population, we can begin to develop a more unified understanding of illness representation in this population and use this knowledge to influence the treatment decisions made in healthcare. Recommendations to help achieve improved asthma outcomes needs to target care in community settings, which are particularly effective for vulnerable populations such as those who are underinsured, poor, and of a minority status, as outlined in an article by Jay Halterman and authors. Further, Halterman and co-authors showed that interventions such as school-based asthma initiatives, such as the ones trialed in Rochester, New York, and Columbus, Ohio, that through initiating administration of the controller medication at school by the school nurse, children in the treatment group experienced nearly 1 additional symptom-free day over 2 weeks compared with the usual care group, and these children experienced fewer nights with symptoms, fewer days requiring rescue medication, and fewer days of missed school. Further evidence from another author, another review by Hester and co-authors on state-enforced school-based asthma intervention showed that through the initiation of standardized state asthma programs, school-based asthma initiatives would have the ability to connect and collaborate with state and regional stakeholders with different backgrounds in medical management and environmental health and health education. This would allow more unified acceptance and implementation of such programs within schools, which in turn would multiply the success rates seen in these interventions. These type of community care programs, such as which increase asthma medication compliance and caregiver knowledge on asthma, could dramatically impact the manner in which pediatric asthma is managed and aid in decreasing the overall morbidity and mortality of this disease.
Okay, any questions? Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, just because this is the specific area that I looked at for my undergraduate research. I didn't look at all of the LCAP data to analyze it. Dr. Okolia might be able to speak more to the research that.
Their variability within the research group, yes, there was. But the purpose of trying to understand the variability between the different groups and what the
Actually, my question kind of piggybacks on that because, you know, you've got two samples, one in New York City and one in the Southwest. And so presumably the Southwestern sample is predominantly Mexican or maybe exclusively Mexican, and the New York sample might be a little bit more diverse. So I'm wondering whether what you're capturing isn't really differences between Mexicans and Puerto Ricans. It could be something more about the cultural, social context of those two communities. And it might be, you know, if you had a sample of Puerto Ricans who were drawn from three or four different communities around the United States, might be able to, or probably more likely Mexicans drawn from a number of different communities around the country might be able to tease that out better.
No. Yeah, and right. Mexicans.
Or even in terms of whether the child was born in the United States.
Yeah.
Okay. One last question.
We held interviews, so it was conducted with like the AIRS score for the parents, and that's where their illness representations came in. And then the symptom perceptions we gathered also from the AIRS score.